Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Vav. Should be the schus of the Lamed Vav today. A lot of inyanim. We got up to the top line. Nizdak, Nikev. So we're in the middle of the dinim of the Etrog, which is the final dinim that we have of the Arba Minim. And the question over here is, if the etrog was either nizdak or nikev. So what would we mean by nizdak that could pass away? Toni ula bar chanina. It actually depends. Nikev nekev mefulash b'mashu. If you have a nekev that goes through from one side all the way to the other side, so then it actually becomes possible, even if most learn, even if nothing was chaser, and it's just you passed a needle through it from one side to the other. And that would be the machlokas, but the pashtus is, because this is the way it is, the gabi treifus, so we'll see this whole dinus, nugia treifus, but la halacha, we'll talk about afterwards, the sheet of the rivet. Tani ula bar chanina, nikev nekev mefulash, if it goes all the way through, it's mashu, even if it isn't chaser, for she'eino mefulash, but if it has a hole that doesn't go all the way through, but nothing is chaser, then it would be only if it's as large as an iser. So the pashtus is we're talking about over here, where there is no chisorah. Now the maisa, the rivet shita, is that there is a little bit of a chisorah, there has to be a chisorah mashu, in order for there to be a pagam of a psul mamish, even if it goes all the way through. And if it doesn't go all the way through, if it's a big enough as an iser, there needs to be some kind of chisorn. Alocha lemaisa, in a pinch, you can rely on this rivet. But Baruch Hashem, we have access to etrogim without needing to be semech on this. Nistak. Okay, now the question is like this. Assuming that this is the case, what would be the din if noldu be'etrog simanei treifa mahu? This is a very fascinating issue, because lemaisa, the etrog, remember, is the pre-Eitz Hadar. And the pre-Eitz Hadar is the remez to the tzaddik. It's considered to be pre-Eitz Hadar. And this is the reason that it's doime to Yosef HaTzadik. And the dinim in the Gemara, amazingly, that are defined for an etrog are the same dinim that are defined for the re'ah in an animal, even though there doesn't seem to be any connection between them. But the issue of the re'ah is also the getter of Yosef, as we described in Chulin, that's b'shilo is b'chol haro'eh, and the idea of Yosef is that he is his enayim are tahirah, so therefore he isn't ever nene from anything that is in shalom, and that's hayam ra'ah vayanos. Anyway, the sugi until now, those of you who don't remember so well your chulin, wouldn't have noticed. Those who remember your chulin would have noticed that it's mamish word for word the sugi said chulin, like the etrog that was niklav kahina sumka, is the same din as the rea, exactly word for word kahina sumka, which is also been again at Sadika Tamar Yifrach. That's why it's the pre-Eitz Sadars of the Tamar. It's Bamish Nogeat Sadik. And Memela Rava wants to know what would be about the other dinim of treifas that have to do with what we find in an animal. What would be their impact on a etrog, of all strange things? So which case is he talking about? Is he talking about the case of Niklaf? We learned about that in the Mishnah. That if it was niklaf, so we said that that's the same din as the gluda of the animal, which, by the way, remember, was the basis of yesterday's machlokas about whether it's the same as an animal that if it was nishtayer boy enough to regrow, then it would be kosher. Then that was the sheet of the Rishonim who learned that if there's a little bit left, that it's kosher. The opposite of those who learned that it's considered to be menumer. But anyway, that case is in the Mishnah. If you're talking about that it split, which we also find that if the windpipe splits, so then it would be a din of nistak. That's also in the Mishnah. We said that if when it comes to an animal, if there's a little bit of the taba'ot, which is the cartilage, and if there's a little bit on the top and on the bottom, that then it's kosher. The question is literally whether that's the case in the esrog. This is whether there's a little bit left on top and a little bit left on the bottom. So that's a question. But he couldn't have meant the din of nistak because the mentions nistak. If you're talking about nikev, where there's a hole, so nikev by treifas is absur, which it also talks about in the Mishnah. What is he talking about? Kiko, I mean, boyle, the case that he's talking about is kriula amar of Yochanan. If you have a lung, where if you move the lung up and down, you hear that it's actually liquid inside. And so it hasn't decayed on the outside. So it says over here that even though it's nishpacha kiton, it's kosher. And Rav explained over there that v'hu dekaimei simpuna, that's only where the bronchi are still okay, so that it's able to transfer oxygen. It would be trefa. So what would be the din of the equivalent? Is there an equivalent case to bronchi? I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. So Gemara is making an equivalence over here between the inside of the etrog that contain the seeds, that those are the equivalent of the breathing tubes in a lung. It's amazing. So the question is, what would be the din over here? Maybe only over there, you understand, this is the only difference that we can find between a lung and an etrog, right? So maybe, it never occurs to anybody, maybe one has nothing to do with the other. The difference is this, that maybe over there, the reason that it's kosher in a lung is because it's not exposed to the external air, so it's all within the body, so it's protected from all types of impacts from the outside. And because of that, it can still regenerate itself properly. It would be hadar baria. Mashenkin, over in the case of an etrog, once it's already been damaged to the extent that it's nishpach kikiton, so then siruche masracha. So then for sure it's going to end up rotting. And the halacha is that once you have the beginning of a process that is going to inevitably destroy the thing, this shulagabi treifas, it would be in this case, it would be possible, even though by Araya it's kosher. Or Dumalushna, or maybe it actually has exactly the same halacha. So now the question is, can we bring a braita that is a little bit similar? And that is like this, because the braita doesn't define itself. The braita talks about an etrog, tafuach. So it's a tafuach etrog. Now what exactly tafuach? Tafuach means that it's swollen on some level. And saruach means that it stinks or it's rotting on some level. We need to understand precisely what the difference is between them, because that's going to define the nature of the etrog that is nishpach kikiton. By the way, like this you could learn etrog shenishpach kikiton is a reference to an etrog that seems to be a hard etrog on the outside, but when you move it back and forth, you can hear liquid inside of it. The problem is that the tour compares the two sugyas to such a way, to this tafuach saruach, that the etrog is actually soft on the outside. Okay, so if you were talking about tafuach saruach, or it's kavush, so it was pickled, either sitting in, you know, some kind of vinegar or salt water, or even in water if it was there for 24 hours. There's also, this is interesting because I'm sofer, by the way, once we bring it up, that he says after Shabbos, so what they would do is they would take their lulav and esrog out of the water, that it shouldn't be kavush. Where is there a din of kavush on an etrog, other than on the etrog? Okay, but some bring this. Anyway, so if it's kavush or it's shaluk, it was a cooked etrog, or it's an etrog hakushi. And remember that Rashi insisted that etrog hakushi meant literally grown in Kush, in Ethiopia. Others learn that kushi is a question only of the coloration, which we'll get into the details in a moment. So hakushi, or if it's lavan, or if it's a spotted etrog. Now it's machlokas, whether spotted means spotted with marot, even marot that are completely kosher for the etrog, except that it's just like different colors. And the different colors are considered to be a chisaron in the hadar. in these cases, it would be possible. V'yeshamrim afatiyom. Some say that even a Siamese twin, etrog, which are rare, but you do see them, very interesting. So you have two etrogim that are basically joined together at one point. So some say the tiyom is also possible. Etrog haboser, if the etrog is boser. Now, what does boser mean? This is an amazing sugya. Rashi says boser. Always we say boser, which is a reference to the grape. That's a stage of the growth of a grape. So Rashi says the etrog haboser is talking about an etrog which is the size of boser. Which is, whoa, what exactly is the size of boser? Well, it says kipol halavan. Pol halavan is the size of a bean. So what in the world would that be talking about? Is that possible? We had a machlokas about whether the smallest shear of an etrog is an egos or whether it's a kibetza. We actually paskin, it's a kibetza. And this, what now we're saying that it could be tiny like a pol halavan, it would still be kosher? So there's all kinds of questions. Is this supposed to be a third cheetah? I mean, how does it work then with the din of minkara l'kichasa that we spoke about yesterday when we were talking about using a pepper for an esrog? So, I mean, sometimes that what Rashi is saying is that we're talking about a large etrog that is going to grow. Not that it's the size of a pol lavan when it's grown, but it's only grown to the size of a pol lavan of its growth. But it's if I would leave it, it would continue to grow. So maybe that would be the pshat in Rashi, that before we were talking about the shear of an egos, or we were talking about the shear of a kibetza, where over there it's when it's grown. And over here we're talking about while it's still growing. Others learn. So that would mean that when Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda passed by the etrog hakatan that we had before, that's only where it isn't meant to grow larger. So in other words, it was a stunted etrog. That's what they were talking about. And therefore, they say if it's stunted, so then it's not a gemar peri. But if it's going to continue to grow, so then maybe they would be modat that it's kosher. Very, very difficult to believe that, but maybe. Others learn that maybe what Rashi means is that the proportion of the kapol lavan to the full grape is the same relationship of the etrogs, the much larger etrog, the shear of pol halavan by the grape, what would be the equivalent development by the etrog? So basically what the question boils down to is the issue of whether boser is a reference to maturity or boser is a reference to size. If boser is a reference to maturity, so then you can understand that it's still considered to be a pri once it reaches the maturation level of boser, which is by and grape would be the size of a kapol lavan. Take the understanding of that and apply it to the din of etrog. That may be the pshat. Rabbi Akiva considers the esrog haboser to still be posel. According to this, even though it's going to be growing, and the chachamim hold that it's kosher. How about if you grew an etrog in a mold and you forced it to conform to the different shape of the mold as it grew, and it looks now like some other thing? It does not look like an etrog. So maybe you have kids who like little froggies, you know, so you grew your etrog like a froggy, or even better, you know, you could grow your etrog like an octopus, and then you would have an octopus etrog, sort of like kosher, you could put your hands between. Anyway, so that would be the Shiloh. Possible. Anyway, what do we care about right now? We're looking for the part about this tafuach or saruach. So now the tafuach or saruach seems to be similar to this idea of the etrog that is pouring around. So it says tafuach v'saruach. So what is the difference, first of all? Tell me what the tafuach v'saruach is different. I would assume that tafuach is meaning that it's swollen outside, and saruach means that it's decayed or rotting on the inside. But that would mean that if there's decay of the etrog, certainly if the etrog is actually liquefied, I mean, that's crazy. So then that's totally decayed, right? So then that's your answer. You want to know what would be the din if it was nolad, but that's simetreif of a lung. Clearly it's saying over here that it would be possible. Says the Gemara, but it's not necessarily the case. It could be that both of these, the Tafuach and the Seruach, are Mipachutz, the Lokasha. One is talking about Tafach, Afagav, the Lo Sarach, and Ha, the Sarach, Afagav, the Lo Tafach. Now, Rashi has two possible pshatim in what this means. So then, Tafuach could just be like it was bloated, maybe it had been in water and it absorbed a lot of moisture. And Seruach would mean that there was some decay, but also on the outside. Or Rashi gives another shot, that it could be that Tafuach means from the outside, and the idea of the Seruach means literally it smells, but it doesn't smell because it decayed, it smelled because it was attacked by insects, and they made it smell, which is very strange. I mean, like some of the Achronim ask, I mean, it should certainly be, first of all, it's Chaser, and it's totally not Hadar. Okay. Anyway, those are the possibilities.
So but Rashi lived in worms.
Wow. that's very good. Very good. Okay. So now, one of the things that we learned over here, once we already brought it up, is that there's a reference in this Braita that the Etrog HaKushi, and that was mentioned in the Mishnah. And as we spoke about there, there's a machlokas, Rishonim Rashi's approaches, Esrog HaKushi means an Esrog that grew in Eretz Kush. So let's take that as our first approach. Omar Mar, Etrog Kushi is possible. That's what you said here, and in the Mishnah. Problem is, there's another braita that says Etrog HaKushi is kosher. Only if it's Domel HaKushi is it possible. So if it's similar to the Etrog, so in other words, what it seems to be saying is, that what you have over here is, if it actually, this is the way Rashi would learn, if it actually grew in Eretz Kush, then it's kosher because the normal color of Esrogim in Eretz Kush is basically that dark color. But an Esrog that grew not according to the proper way it ought to grow, and it's in another case, in another place, and it grew the same way that it would have, that would be possible. As Rashi says, in French, that's a counterfeit Esrog. He actually says that word, a counterfeit Esrog, because it's like it's growing in a way that is not its real appearance. But anyway, so it says over here that if it's really an Esrog, we'll talk about the other approach in a moment, but and the pashtus is that it's a contradiction. Omar Abaye, maybe that's what the Mishnah itself means. Maybe the Mishnah itself was talking about Domel HaKushi and was calling it Kushi. Domel HaKushi Tana. That would be the point. Rava Omar, Rava says you don't have to come on to any, and there's no real problem. Because Halan Vahalahu, it depends where it is that you live. So the Mishnah meant to say exactly what you said. You don't have to change it. It meant to say that a Esrog HaKushi is possible, but that's only in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they did not have any exposure to Etrogim from Kush. And because of that, it looks weird. And remember, we saw that in Yonim of Hadar are defined by what is the normal appearance in a place. So that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And this is the Boker and the Torah for black is beautiful, right? As it says over here, it's considered to be Hadar if you're exposed to the Etrog HaKushi. That's remarkable. So a black Etrog is a beautiful Etrog if you're black, if you live in Ethiopia, or if you're exposed to these kinds of beautiful Etrogim and you've gotten used to the fact that Etrogim can look like this. Now that's if you live in Bava. So over there, they have a lot of these and they apparently import them from Kush, so over there it's kosher. Marshenken, if it looks to you to be very strange, so then it's not kosher. Why in the world they would have more Ethiopian, if you're learning, it means literally Ethiopian Esrogim. Rashi says because it's closer in Bava to Ethiopia, which it certainly isn't, but I mean, it could just be, it means it's closer in terms of shipping. The way that people would normally ship, I mean, to get from Ethiopia to Eretz Yisrael is not partial. I mean, you have to go through deserts and so on. Now, shanking like this, you can cross the straits and just go, go directly up to Iraq. Maybe that's the pshat. Okay, so this was the approach of Rashi, remember? Because Rashi's approach is that it means literally a etrog that grows in the land of Cush. However, there are others, including the Rambam and the Gedolei HaPoskim, who don't learn like Rashi, and that when we're talking about an etrog, a Cushi, and the Dome of Cush has nothing to do with the land of Cush. It means, according to the Rif and the Rambam, Dome of Cush is darker. It means it looks like a real black man. It looks like an Ethiopian. And therefore, it's too dark. But an Etrog HaKushi means that it has a little bit of a blackness on it. That would be kosher. If we're learning Alon Valahu, it would be kosher in places where that is normal. In other words, you see Etrogim like that. So that would mean that in a place where the Etrogim are not normally black, so then it would be possible, even if you would be nearby to that, because it's just not the correct color, the halal. So again, it's a totally, totally different approach between Rashi. It has to do with the place, literal place that's connected to Ethiopia, according to these approaches, which has to do with the similarity to the skin of an Ethiopian. Okay, next case. Etrog HaBosar, it's said in the Braita, Rabbi Akiva is Poisel, and the Chachomim are Makshir. Omar Rabbah, you should know that this question of something that is not completely mature, whether it would be kosher, would be the equivalent of Rabbi Shimon Shita and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Amru Dover Echad. Because when Rabbi Akiva said that it's possible if it's Bosar, that's what we just said. And Rabbi Shimon, what are you referring to? That's the same thing. Because Ditznan, Rabbi Shimon poter eta etrogim bekotnan, he potters them from Meiser. So he holds, therefore, that the Machlokas is exactly the same Machlokas, because the Tanakama over there that argues with Rabbi Shimon, he says that etrogim you have to take off Meiser as soon as you pick them. And there's no difference whether they're large or they're small. As soon as they're edible, they're fine, even if Lamaisa, you would normally let them grow long. But apparently Rabbi Shimon says, no, if it hasn't grown, so in other words, it's still immature, so then you're not Chayav in Maisa. Seems to be the same din as by the Etrog. By the Etrog for Sukkos. We're both talking about Etrog, I shouldn't have said that. But by the Etrog for Sukkos. Maybe disconnected. Because at Kalokoma Rabbi Akiva Hocha, over here, the reason he might have said Boser is possible is to be Inan Hadar Veleka. He holds that it's Chaser in the beauty of the Etrog when it's immature. Maybe over there, it's edible. And because of that, he would hold like the Rabbonin that you have to take off Maisa. And you could say that at Kalokoma Rabbi Shimon Hasam, Elot Dikhtiva Serta Ser Kotvad Zar Echa. The problem, according to Rabbi Shimon, may have nothing to do with the question of these size, it has to do with the maturity. Because since the Torah says you have to be able to plant it, kol tvoat zarecha, so then that means that its seeds are fertile. And if it's only mature to the level of bosar, so then it doesn't reproduce. And when it comes to meiser, it has to be able to reproduce. Because of that, maybe, Rabbi Shimon says, that it's not Chayev in Meiser. But what does that have to do with the shear of the Etrog? Where does it say it has to be a reproducing Etrog? So over there it's Kiderach Shebnei Adam Otzim Nizriya, but it could be over here, Rabbi Shimon would agree with the Chachamim, that an Etrog for Sukkos, once it's the size of Boser, maturity of Boser, it would be completely kosher. So again, the Mashma'ut is here, note that the pshat that we were taking in Rashi about the maturation level seems to be the Gemara is taking for granted that Boser is a problem in reproductive maturity. And that would be the point. In which case, it really helps us to be senech on that Rashi before. It's not a question. Sides. The Amar Rava, Minan Minala, I'll tell you where it is. I skipped it over here. Pressed the wrong button. The Tulo Midi, and really, please don't belabor it, because there's nothing more to discuss. I mean, why would there be a relationship between the two? Gidlo betfus razorkim in bria acheret pasul. Oh, my Rava, this is only if you made it into some completely different shape. But if it still looks like an etrog of a kabriato kasher, maybe what you want to do is grow a special shape, you know, shaped esrogim. So that's okay. You could let a mold, put a mold around every young etrog and let it be forced into the type of shape of an esrog that you like. Well, obviously. I mean, didn't it say beferish kemin bria acheret tanya? What do I need? I need Rabbi to tell me, repeat what it says. The chiddush is lo tzricha davida dapi dapi. Rava's chiddush is that as long as it's vaguely etrog shaped. So in other words, if you kept the general shape of the etrog, but you had these ridges that were coming out, so it looked something like a water wheel on its side, that's enough of the shape of an etrog. Even that would be kosher. Itma. Moshe Andel is suggesting that Kush is Hindu. A Kush, but then, I mean, we call that black? I don't know. Itmar. Etrog shenekavu achbarim. How about if you have a case where a mouse nibbled on an esrog? On my Rav, that's not called hadar, and it's posel. Why isn't it posel? Because it's chaser. We'll see, it makes an afkamina, as we're about to see, what the basis of the pekam is. Any, is this true? For Rabbi Chanina matpil bei, v'nafik bei, Rabbi Chanina would dip his esrog in salad dressing, take a bite out of his esrog, alone, you got to use your imagination here, but your eyes ought to be open, take a bite out of the esrog, and then he would make a bracha on the esrog, and he would use the esrog for his lulav. Can you imagine? Quite astounding. I mean, obviously it can't mean exactly what it's saying, because if this was really his esrog, so then it was muktzah. Not allowed to eat the esrog that was, it's muktzah for the mitzvah, right? We learned that before, that there's a din of muktzah for the, if it's for the 7 days, it's for all 7 days. So, I mean, their mefarish is that Rabbi Chanina, like many people, had a lot of esrogim, you know, you got your backup esrogim, right? So, okay, so he took a bite out of one of his backup esrogim. Then his esrog fell. He broke off the pitum of his esrog. So now all he had was the esrog that he had had for breakfast, where he had taken a little bite out of his backup esrog. So he used his backup esrog for an esrog, even though he had taken a bite out of it. So the question is, if that's a problem, so then why would Rav say, how does Rav explain Rabbi Chanina? What do you mean, says the Gemara? Forget about Rav. How does Rabbi Chanina use an esrog, which is chaser? If he took a bite out of it, it's obviously chaser. So Rabbi Chanina, kasha masnisin. Ah, you could say that the Mishnah is not a problem for Rabbi Chanina. Because what we're talking about, a chaser is a din only on Yom Tov Rishon. Why? Because what's the basis of chaser? Ul kachtem. Ulkachtem lachem b'yom harishon, ulkachtem l'kicha tamah, there has to be a full l'kicha of everything. Okay, so that would be b'yom tov rishon. But what Rav was saying, that it's not hadar, we're talking about over here, that would be a problem. For Rabbi Chanina, it's not a problem, we're talking about yom tov sheni. But Rabbi Chanina is a problem on Rava. I mean, on Rav, l'Rav Kasha, he said that even if it was nibbled on, it would be possible. Amlach HaRav, what's the connection? I talked about mice, and you're talking about Rabbi Chanina. Something of a difference, don't you think? So if mice nibble on an esrog, ein hachinami, that lax is disgusting. So something that's moz, it can't be considered to be hadar. Masha'in kein, Rabbi Chanina, is Rabbi Chanina, igiri yamri. Others say on the contrary, that what Rav said was that if mice had nibbled on it, it is hadar, and he brought a raya from Rabbi Chanina, da Rabbi Chanina matro by menafik, they didn't make the nafkamina between the mice and Rabbi Chanina. And according to Rabbi Chanina, in this version, we asked, well, what about the mission about chaser? And we answered, lo kasha kan b'yom tov rishon, kan b'yom tov sheni. Now, as you know, there's a major machlokas rishonim as to whether their psul of hadar is nogea all of the days, or it's only Nogea the first day, like the Rambam and the Rif. But over here, when it comes to the Esrog, remember that the Din of Hadar is a din in the Esrog per se, not just in terms of the Zekeli Ve'anveu, or even if it is, there's much more of a reason to be Gezer Zekeli Ve'anveu by Esrog than by the other meaning, where the Torah defines it as Hadar. Then the Mishnah gave us minimum, the smallest kosher Etrog, Rabbi Meir said is the shear of an egos, and Rabbi Yehuda said is the shear of a kibetza. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, if you want to remember, you should know that the exact same shear comes up in a very strange place. In the size of the rocks that you're allowed to move on Shabbos to use for cleaning yourself after defecations. If you're outdoors and you don't, obviously in those days nobody was stupid enough to use toilet paper, but if you didn't have water, so then they would use stones and different sizes stones until they were finally able to scrape themselves clean. And the question is, normally a stone is muktza. And there's also, you shouldn't carry it. It's like this, you carry pochas mi'arbamis and the carmelis. So the same machlok is about the size of the esrogim is nogea avanim kurzalot, which are stones that have a sharp edge that you're allowed to bring into Beit HaKisei in the field. The Tanya, b'Shabbat shalosh avanim kurzalot mutar lachnis leBeit HaKisei. V'kama shiuran, and over there we have the same machlok as Rabbi Meir omer ke'egoz, Rabbi Yehuda omer ke'beitzah. Okay, then what's the largest possible esrog? Well, the largest possible Esrogim machlokas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you can hold two in one hand because he's afraid what happens if it falls. And Rabbi Yossi says, even if you need both hands to hold your Esrog, it's also kosher. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yossi, Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva Shebala Beit HaKnesset V'etroga Ketefa. They once, Rabbi Akiva came in, said Rabbi Yossi, and he was carrying a watermelon-sized esrog. It didn't exactly fit in his esrog box, but it did fit on his backpack. So he came in with his esrog on his backpack. No. So how do you say that it's kosher, that it's possible? Amala Rabbi Yehuda, that's what you're bringing a riot from? Do you know what they told Rabbi Akiva? Forget about the question of whether it's going to fall or not. They said that thing is so big it's not even a priyetz hadar at all. Ain't ze hadar. That's a watermelon, not an esrog. So anyway, don't try to bring me a riot to your shita that it was okay and nobody said a thing. Boy, did they make a fuss out of that one. So don't bring your esrog in a backpack. And now, a word from our kapitan who has unfortunately been apparently domesticated, is no longer sitting in his ship, is no longer surrounded by his beautiful wooden porch, and now he is domesticated in a room like all the rest of us.
And not only that, but in quarantine. Unable, benidui, unable to go out to see people. I gotta wait till the effects of that.
When did they started quarantine?
I came in last night.
As of last night.
As of last night, until the results come in. Therefore, zuk the helek mishnah.
Well, it seems to have done some good for his nusach. I think when he was out on the sea, it was much more like a foghorn. Okay. Ein ogdim et alulav ela bimino. So you're not allowed to use it. We had this discussion we mentioned before, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and this had to do with the mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah of eged. And as we saw, because of that, if you use something that is different, so then you would be adding to the min. But there's also a different question. Is this a chatzitza between your hand and the min? This is what we need to discuss. So if you're going to be oged your lulav, you have to use a min that is kosher for the lulav. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, well, who cares? Afilu bechut or b'meshicha. Some have bechut ha-meshicha, but this would mean even with either threads or with cords, or it could be chut ha-meshicha, would mean linen. Omer Rebbe Meir, Maaseh be'anshei Yerushalayim shayogdim et lulavim begimoniot shel zahav. I can tell you that I know that they used to hold the lulav together with these golden handles. Amru lo, so they told Rebbe Meir, it's not true. Underneath it, they were ogdenoto milamata. And the gold was not put there to be mekayim the mitzvah of eged. That would have been a problem, said Rebbe Yehuda. And therefore, underneath the gold, they had its own mean. What do we mean by its own mean? Omar Rava, afil b'siv. Even with that thick stuff that grows around the bottom of the palm, afil b'ikra d'dikla, and even if you take off actually the outside part of the wood and you make a little holder out of it, it's also good. Omar Rava, my time at Rebbe Yehuda, kasavar lolach lulav tzarech eged. As we saw, Rebbe Yehuda holds that you need to do the eged on the lulav. And because of that, if you end up bringing another min, so then it's going to be baltosif. And imaitim minachrina b'chamisha mine. V'omer Rava, how do I know? I'll prove to you that siv and ikra the dikla is called mine, the same min as the lulav. And it's not considered to be the min. When he says a lulav, it has to be literally from one of the strips of the lulav, which is our minik, to make the koshlach out of the strip of the lulav. I'll prove to you that even the siv and the ikra the dikla is called part of the lulav species, the Tanya. Basukot teshvu. So, says Rabbi Meir, basukot teshvu means whatever it is. Whatever you want to use as your schach, as long as it's psoas garim v'yekev, that's fine. It shouldn't be makabal tuma, should be gedulei karka. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Ein sukkah noheged ala b'arba minim shebalulav. If you want to make a sukkah, your schach has to be made out of the same kind of species that are used for the mitzvah of lulav. Vadinotein? Doesn't that make sense to you? If a lulav, she'en noeg b'leilot k'viyomi, eino noeg ala b'arbat minim, sukkah she'noeged b'leilot k'viyomim, eino din shalotei ala b'arbat minim. I mean, it makes so much sense that we should be more machmer on a sukkah than on a lulav, right? I mean, a sukkah, I have to be in the sukkah at night as well. Mashenkin, the chiyuv of the arba minim doesn't apply to the nighttime. So if the Torah is makbid on these minim for the lulav, koshikin, it'll be makbid on the sukkah. Omru lo, kol din shata dan, tfilotola achmir, besofola hakel, inadin. This is all very nice to say it would be a good idea to be machmer, that it would be idea with things that are similar to the arba minim, and therefore the Torah wants you to be surrounded by those minim, to be machavi, to the kishomim, and so on. But the end result of your kal v'chomer is going to end up that people are not going to be doing the mitzvah. Because in this case, lo matzar bat minim, let's say he doesn't find the schach to be from the bat minim, what's he supposed to do? Yoshevu batel, so you're telling me that's not a kosher sukkah? You're going to end up having people who are not sitting in the sukkah. HaTorah Amra b'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim. Sukkah shel kol davar. And basically, we know that this was true because in Sefer Ezra it says, Tzu'u ahar v'avil alei zayit, v'alei et shemen, v'alei hadas, v'alei tmarim, v'alei et savot. So they told everyone, go out to the mountains and pick these olive leaves shemen, it could be referring to pine, and hadas, which would be hadas shaita, and so on and so forth. Lasot sukkot kakatuv, like it says in the Torah, to make sukkah. So obviously, you can't use ali zayit for your arba minim, and it says over there, bring it to make the sukkah. And Rabbi Yehuda says that means to bring it for the wall of the sukkah. It doesn't mean to bring it to make the schach. The alei hadas, and the Alei Tamarim, and the Alei Atzavot, that is for Schach. I'm not saying you need kosher Adas. You could be even Adas Shaita. Bring Alei Adas. But anyway, you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even there, he learns Ezra as needing to have one of the Arba Minim. So here, says Rava, is my proof. Because it says in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can use boards for the sukkah top, right? So how in the world can you use boards if you have to use the arba minim? Are boards from the arba minim? Are they lulavim? How would they be kosher? The only explanation is that you're using the actual sieve or the ikra, the dikla. You're using the actual palm, you sawed it into boards, and you put boards on top of your sukkah. So you see clearly that even though Rebbe Yehuda is makbid on the minim to be kosher for Tzach. He's allowing you, and he's considering it to be part of the minim of the lulav, to have boards that were sawed from a palm tree. Clearly, Amma Siv the Ikra the Dikla is mina de lulava shma mina. That is a clear raya that what I said is true. Rabbi Yehuda would certainly allow a piece of the palm tree itself to be the grip for your lulav that is ma'aged your lulav. Beautiful, right?